So this morning we're talking about the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. It was written 1000 B.C. by Solomon. 31 chapters, 915 verses, 15,038 words. He was in his mid-30s, and Jim describes him as being at the top of his game. What do you know? You guys know what the top of the game means?
Prime.
Huh?
Standing on the forefront.
In his prime, yeah. Our 1828 Webster's definition of proverb is a short sentence expressing a well-known truth or common fact gained by experience or observation, an established principle of wisdom. So this book has a bunch of proverbs in it. I think it's over 900. And they're just phrases and things that give you some truth, some wisdom. Alright, we'll look at some of them here in a minute. The 50,000 foot summary, the book of Proverbs gives us instructions on how to be successful and prosperous in life. Raise your hand if you don't want to know how to be successful and prosperous in life. Great. This is a good book to read. It has 31 chapters, so many of you guys probably have heard of people who read Proverbs per day for the book, for the whole month. And if the book, if the chapter or the month only has 30 days, what should you do with the 31st one?
Read.
Just skip it. Who cares? No, you should read on the 30th. What?
I've
skipped about
next chapters,
right? There's 31 chapters. Yeah. So, yeah, if you read one a day, you'll get through the whole book every month. Quick review of Solomon, or sorry, of King Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. Who was the first two? First king of Israel.
Oh my God,
David was one.
Saul,
yes. Solomon, he was the second king of King David, or second son of King David, sorry. Bathsheba was your blank for who was his mom. First temple took 7 years. God granted Solomon more wisdom than any other man. According to 1 Kings 4:32, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs and 1,005 songs. He wrote 3 books of our Bible. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Key verse of the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. This key verse brings out some of the key words or concepts in Proverbs. Knowledge is a collection of facts that you know. Wisdom is knowing how to make good decisions based on the knowledge you have. So I've always heard it like wisdom is applying knowledge, like knowledge applied. So if you know something and then you use that information to make a decision, that's wisdom. Okay, understanding, being on the same page with God, knowing His thoughts on any given matter, recognizing God's hand in a situation. So understanding is almost like knowledge of the Bible, right? What does the Bible say? How can I apply it in my life? That's understanding. You have an understanding of how to take what God's Word says and like understand what to do in certain situations based on what the Bible says. And then discernment is wisdom in action. A Latin word means to distinguish or separate. Discernment is to see or recognize the difference between good and bad, true and false. And so it gives you, you have the knowledge, so you learn like, okay, you know, this thing is bad, this thing is good, I should do this, I shouldn't do this. That's knowledge based. And then actually doing those things, applying those things is wisdom. You have wisdom on how to behave. Discernment is like then taking that wisdom and maybe taking a step back and looking at the whole picture and understanding other things that are going on, how that impacts the situation that you're in. And so kind of combining all of those things together is discernment, so wisdom in action. Christ in Proverbs, Christ is the fulfillment of the Proverbs. He's the manifestation of wisdom. Proverbs 8:22-36 describes how wisdom is an attribute of Christ, the eternal Son of God, created from the beginning. So all the books that we've looked at so far, we've looked at how is Christ typified, or how does He show up in these books? Because you can see, even though Jesus doesn't show up in the flesh until the book of Matthew, right when he's born, even though he doesn't show up then, he's portrayed throughout the whole Bible, throughout the whole Old Testament. And a lot of these guys that were writing these books didn't know that they were writing about Christ, or that they were writing types and pictures of Jesus Christ. But the way that God weaves Christ in all throughout the Old Testament, even though he's not physically there, is really cool. Now he does show up sometimes in the Old Testament in person, but we don't see the name of Christ in the Old Testament, but we do see him woven throughout all these different books. And so in the book of Proverbs, he's the fulfillment of all these proverbs. He's the manifestation of God's wisdom. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom, in Christ, if you read the whole context, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then in 1 Corinthians 2:7 and 8 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord our God, the Lord of glory. Cast of characters. Okay, so this is kind of interesting. How many of you guys have read the book of Proverbs, or had the book of Proverbs read to you as a child by your parents? Yeah, some of you. Okay. So, Proverbs is one of those books. It's difficult to outline, or it's not set up the same way that most of the rest of the books in our Bible are. It's not a story. There are a few passages that are really short stories of things, but for the most part, Proverbs is just a collection of random, not random, but seemingly random phrases and things that are kind of all put together. And there's a few chapters and passages that have some themes, but a lot of it is just like, it'll be talking about one thing over here, and then the next verse is something totally different, and the next verse is something totally different. And it can be kind of hard. I mean, there's good information in there, obviously. But as you read through it, it's not like you're not reading a story, or you're not, a lot of the times the verses don't even go together necessarily. But Jim did a really cool thing with this. He lists out these 10 people or these characters that show up in this book. And, if you've read Proverbs, you've seen all of these different characters or heard about all these different characters. But it's kind of cool the way he lays this out, and what they represent, and kind of some pictures and stuff for us. And then I went through and I have some verses for us to look at on all of these. So the first one is the simple. And what does that represent, or who does that represent? It says, we all start out simple in life. A simple person is unlearned, they're easily deceived, and they're not wise to the ways of the world. Initially, they may not care about getting wisdom. The book of Proverbs is written to the simple, to you and to me, to guide us and to encourage us to pursue wisdom, to develop the skills necessary to live a successful life with God. So simple, most of the time a simple person, that's kind of like an insult if somebody's a simpleton or like a simple person. But if they're a young person and they're simple, it just means that they don't have the knowledge, or like they don't know how things work. You know, they're naive a little bit. Like, they haven't been out in the world to experience all the different, good and bad things that the world has to offer. And so, they're easily tricked. So a lot of the things that we see mentioned about the simple, in the book of Proverbs, are warnings and things like that. Like, hey, be aware of this, or, you know, look out for these things. And so, I looked up the word simple. How many times do you guys think the word simple shows up in the Bible? 20. Good guess. 20 times, and 14 of those are in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so most of the time that you see the word simple show up in the Bible, it's in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. That's the first time it shows up in Proverbs, and it kind of gives us a good start. So, the beginning of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. So this is why he wrote the book, why he wrote these Proverbs. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To establish to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Okay, so he's like, this is why I'm writing this, to give subtlety to the simple, to give them some knowledge and some understanding and some wisdom, to help people who are simple, who are, ignorant, not in the way that we use somebody being ignorant, but like they just literally don't know, right? And so he's writing the Proverbs to give them some knowledge of things and some wisdom on things and some understanding about God and other things and how the world works. Okay, so the second one is the fool. There are four types of fools in Proverbs. Simple, fool, mocker, and wicked. They are all morally and spiritually deficient. They are rebellious and prefer to follow their own ideas and do not care about the things of God or eternal happiness. There is more about the fool in Proverbs than any other character. They are the exact opposite from the wise person. They are dangerous to be around and will lead you astray. And so sometimes foolish people are just, like, they just don't know, and they just kind of are bumbling through the world, you know, like, you guys probably run into people like that at school, right? There's just foolish people who just kind of are, you know, unaware of everything around them. But that can be dangerous, right? They can fall into some some traps. There's some people who are foolish on purpose that are like, you know, actively, you know, trying to be rebellious or trying to, you know, not learn and things like that. So there's a bunch of different ways that the word fool is mentioned in the Bible and in Proverbs. But the word fool, how many times do you guys think that shows up in the Bible?
75.
Ooh, 73, Cameron. Good job. 73 times, 41 of them are in Proverbs. And then fools, plural, shows up 42 times, and 19 of those are in Proverbs. So about half the time you see the word fool or fools, half of the mentions of the whole Bible are in the book of Proverbs. Flip over to chapter 12. There's a bunch to choose from, but 12:15 kind of summarizes a little bit about the fool. Somebody want to read that? Proverbs 12:15, nice and loud. Because I'll have Brendan here to take all the bullets for you on the reading. What? Sorry, Andrea. I just was shocked that Cameron not having his Bible.
A man with fool is right in his own eyes, but he got pregnant in the school council of
ours. What is it? That was 12:15. Okay. Yeah, so the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. So, you know, they do things that are that they think are right without really any concern for what the Bible says is right. And so that's not the person we want to be. That's not the type of person that we want to be. Now, all of us are foolish from time to time. We make poor decisions. We make foolish decisions. But you don't want to be as a character trait of who you are. Fool is pretty low on the list of things that you would strive to be. The evil man. This is a person that represents worldly wisdom that the devil uses to trick us. This person is totally sold out to wickedness and rebellion. His goal is to snare you. All right, how many times do you guys think that the phrase evil man shows up in the Bible?
5, 2.
Ooh, close. Oh, man.
3.
8.
Oh, the next guy.
And four of them are in Proverbs. So again, half of the time, the evil man, half the time that phrase shows up is in the book of Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 11. Somebody read that one for me.
Can the razor.
What? 1711, Cameron.
But an evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against.
Okay, so this is a little bit, this is a step beyond the foolish man. Okay, the foolish man, sometimes you can discount, okay, maybe he just doesn't know, maybe he's doing these things just because he's unaware of the right way to do things. But the evil man, this is intentional. This person is intentionally seeking to lead others astray, to do evil and wicked things. And so I think that verse kind of summarizes pretty well the evil man. The next one is the strange woman. This represents the seductive temptress that offers flattery and the promise of a good time. However, she only brings certain death and destruction. She preys on the simple man who does not have wisdom and discernment. So this is a warning, something to heed. How many times do you guys think the strange woman, the word or the phrase strange woman shows up in the Bible?
1, 10, 8, 22, 5, 7.
9 times. Audrey was closest.
I got 8.
Why is it the woman that are
always? I said 8.
8 of those 9 times is in the book of Proverbs, which is kind of interesting. So, all but one of the strange woman. Okay. Go to chapter 6. Go to chapter 6. Somebody read verses 23 and 24. Proverbs 6, 23 and 24.
For the commandment is lamp, and the law is light, and the proofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman.
Okay, so I drew the one before that, because the commandment is a lamp. What the verse in Psalm 119 says that the word of God is what? It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, right? Mm-hmm. It's supposed to guide the way for us. We're supposed to read the Bible and say, oh, I should do this thing. And that's going to illuminate your path in life. Not physically shining light on the ground, but it's going to tell you which direction to go. Right? Think about if you're wandering through like a dark place and you pull out your flashlight. You know, you want to follow, like you want to look where you're going to be going with the flashlight and not just wandering around in the dark. So this is telling us that God's commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And so, and then verse 24, to keep us from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So God's word is going to make us wise, which is going to help us avoid the traps and the snare of the strange woman. The ironic thing about this is, who wrote the book of Proverbs?
David.
No.
Solomon.
How many wives did Solomon have?
Not too many.
700 and 300 concubines. Okay. And those women led him away from following after the Lord. So it's ironic that the wisest man who ever lived, who's writing these things to us, telling us, hey, follow the law of God, and that'll keep you away from the strange woman. He picked up strange women pretty much everywhere he went. And so it's a little bit of an ironic situation, but there's still some good principles. If we would heed this, if he would have heeded this, he would not have found himself in the situation that he was in. He would not have been led astray from the Lord in his later years as king.
How would he fit that many rings on his hand?
I don't think he wore a ring for each wife. Okay, the brawling woman. This represents a woman, Christian or lost, who makes living at home unpleasant. They are difficult to be around. They are loud, boisterous, negative, nagging, and unhappy. They have no meaningful relationship with the Lord and are likely jealous of those who do. They may keep the simple from becoming wise. What would you guys call this person? If you could sum her up in one name. What did you say?
He said Hallie.
Oh, that's not... No, what? If you could sum her up in one name, not of somebody in this room, how would you summarize this lady based on what I just read about her?
Just...
Huh? No.
She was
a Karen.
Oh, that's
yes, this lady is a Karen. No, she's loud, she's boisterous, she's negative, she's nagging, she's unhappy.
I actually know a lady named Karen, and she is the sweetest person.
I'm not saying all people named Karen are bad people, but I'm just saying in general, these...
Which is also my grandma's sister, like, there's a reason.
Yeah. Okay. How many times do you guys think the phrase brawling woman shows up in the Bible?
Three,
three,
four,
22.
Eight.
Two times.
I said one.
And she said three. Alright, both of them... Both of them are in the book of Proverbs. The two verses are like, I think one word different from being exactly the same. Look at chapter 21, verse 9. Somebody read that one for me. Somebody want to read that for me? Put your phone away.
It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a white house.
Get a real Bible, Audrey. Get a real Bible. We'll wait. We're all going to wait.
No, please don't.
We're all going to wait for you to get one.
Jackson.
Yes,
is Sarah uncomfortable?
We're going to wait.
Jackson. Everybody's Sarah.
Hand her the Bible. Thank you very much. Oh, they need another one. Elena doesn't have one either. Okay, the next person, the virtuous woman. This represents the opposite of the brawling woman.
Girl, Boston already has one over.
Sprite also needs one.
Are you guys kidding me with these Bible situations? Come on, we have these Bibles in here. You're supposed to bring them. If you don't bring them, you're supposed to grab one. That's great. Listen and follow along. To listen and follow along? Yes.
Okay, well, some people don't have that.
Everybody has it. Okay. The virtuous woman. If you can't do it, then you need more practice. We'll give you the practice in here. This represents the opposite of the brawling woman. This is the ideal helpmeet for a man. This woman is good, supportive, a trusting wife and mother. She is a blessing to her man and her family. She partners with her husband and helps him fulfill God's mission for their family. She is far more valuable than any paycheck or precious jewel. Virtuous woman, how many times do you guys think that shows up?
Three.
Did you say three, Elena? Good job.
That was me.
Two of them are in the book of... Two are in the book of Proverbs. I think the other one was in Ruth.
Yeah.
All right, Proverbs 31. If you didn't know where we were headed, you should have. Actually, it only shows up once in chapter 31. The other time's in chapter 12. But 31:10. Somebody read me 31:10.
Who can find a virtuous woman?
For her price of far above rubies.
Okay, and then it goes on to tell all these different things about this virtuous woman. So, ladies, if you're trying to be a virtuous woman, read this passage. And if you're a guy, this is the kind of wife that you're trying to look for here, is this kind of woman, the virtuous woman. The angry. This represents someone who reacts emotionally before they think. They focus on their own welfare, comfort, or happiness. Angry people usually blame others. They are a danger to themselves and others. How many times do you think the word angry shows up in the Bible?
20.
42. Woo! Cameron's on fire. 44. I would have thought over 100 if I was just guessing. Angry just seems like it shows up a lot in the Bible. So 44 times, only 5 of them are in the book of Proverbs. So this is by far the lowest percentage-wise. Turn to chapter 14, verse 17. Somebody read that one for me.
He that is soon angry dwelleth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated.
Okay. So.
I don't care.
Audrey, do we need to bring the Lord and take that word incorrect?
So being quick to anger is not a good thing. The sluggard or slothful, this represents the lazy and the procrastinators that we meet. Lazy people are not successful people. I feel like Jim goes pretty hard here about these lazy people, so it's true information, but it feels like it's directed, you know? Like, maybe you guys don't read it that way. They do not represent good Christian values that we should have. Laziness and procrastination is a type of disobedience to the Word of God. Lazy people are often self-centered and more concerned with their own comfort than obeying the instructions from God. They are masters at finding good excuses to get out of work, and they will place their problems on you if you let them. Bryson, you good? Do you need to move somewhere else or anything? Okay. You sure? Okay. All right. Sluggard. How many times do you guys think sluggard shows up in the Bible?
Two.
41. Six. Six, and all 6 of them are in the book of Proverbs. And slothful, how many times do you guys think that shows up?
32.
I thought you said
15.
What?
11 of them are in Proverbs. So almost all the mentions of sluggard and slothful are in the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 6, verse 6.
I thought
somebody read 6:6. Shane, bro. Your Bible open.
Go to the.
He has one.
Consider his ways and be wise.
Yeah, read the next 2 verses too. Sorry.
No.
Yeah, you got it, Hallie. Hang in there.
Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided for me in the summer and gathereth for food in the harvest.
Okay, so the ants is the example that he uses dealing with this is as being the opposite of a sluggard. Right, you see ants, and they're coming and going. They're doing work all the time. They're always busy, and they don't have somebody that's leading or guiding them. They're independently industrious. So it's a good example of how to be versus not being sluggard and slothful. The gossiper. A gossiper is one of the most dangerous types of people that we meet in Proverbs. There are over 100 proverbs dealing with the tongue. Gossip will divide friends and sow discord among God's people. Gossip is one of the 7 things that God hates. It indicates a spirit of pride, haughtiness, and self-righteousness. James chapter 3 is a great chapter on taming the unruly tongue. How many times do you guys think the word gossip or gossiper is in the Bible?
There's none.
41. Yeah. That was a trick question. Audrey got it. There's none. There's no mentions of gossip or gossiper. So when he says the gossiper, that word doesn't show up. But tongue... how many times do you guys think the word tongue is in the Bible?
13.
400. 15. 321.
15.
No one's really very close.
2, 3,
7,
112 is very close. It's 129. 129 in the whole Bible. 19 of those are in the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 15, verse 2.
Where's Esau?
Huh? What?
15
verse 2. Yeah.
The tongue of the wise uses reason, knowledge of aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness.
Okay, so there's two different directions that we can go with the way that we use our tongue, right? We can use it, we can say wise things, or if we just open our mouth and let whatever comes out without filtering it through God's word, that's foolishness. And that's what this is talking about. Your mouth just pours out foolishness if you're foolish, if you don't have wisdom, if you don't filter what you're saying and what you're thinking through the Bible, then it's going to come out foolishness. There's other places in it where it talks about the foolish, something about the foolish, basically just says everything that he thinks. I didn't write that verse down, but it's wise to hold your tongue a little bit, to not say everything that comes across your mind, to only say things that are are going to either help the situation, or they're going to get you out of a bad situation, or whatever. Like, there's different directions that we can go with the way that we use our tongue. And so we don't want to be a gossiper. We don't want to be somebody who is just out, you know, looking for things to say and tripping about things that don't really matter, or that aren't encouraging or helpful things. The last one is the wise. So this is the goal for us, to be wise in our everyday decision making. A wise person will use their knowledge of the facts to make a wise decision based on the instructions given to them by God's word. A wise person works hard at applying the instructions of God to everyday situations. They may not be perfect at making wise decisions at first, but over time they see more and more how the instructions of God can be used to guide all their decision making. How many times do you guys think the word wise shows up in the Bible? It's the most of all the ones we've looked at so far.
232.
Ooh, very close, Bryson.
247.
How many of those are in Proverbs?
62.
So almost about a fourth of them. I guess just slightly over a fourth. Look at chapter 9. Read verses 8 and 9, somebody. 9, 8, and 9.
Chapter 1, like, OG.
The groom not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke the wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to the wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning.
Alright, so reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. If you guys have ever tried to, like, give advice to somebody who is just, like, doesn't care at all, or if you try to correct them and they respond like in anger, or they get mad about it, that's what this first verse is talking about. Like, if you're trying to correct somebody who is like not interested in being corrected, they're gonna like lash out. They're gonna respond in anger. They're gonna take that as an attack on them. If they're prideful and those kinds of things, they're gonna take that the wrong way. But it says that if you reprove a wise man, rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know, if you correct somebody on something and they take that and they receive it and they're like, oh yeah, I guess that is the way, I should not have said that or did that, or yeah, you know, you're right about this situation. That takes humility and that takes wisdom and recognizing, oh yeah, what I did or what I said or what you're correcting me on is the right way. That's the way I should. That's difficult to respond that way, but that's an indication of wisdom. And then it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. If you're teaching and encouraging and giving information to somebody who's already wise, and you're teaching them, hey man, you're doing a really good job on this, but I think if you did this, it would actually help a little bit. They take that and they receive that well. So if we want to be wise, one of the ways that the Bible tells us we can be wise is that we can receive like instruction or criticism in those ways. Like we can receive those things and then use those things to make ourselves more wise, or apply things in our life in a better way. All right, we're going to have to go through this summary or this outline pretty quick. So the first seven chapters is why we need the Proverbs. So we already read the beginning of chapter 1, which gives us those first 5 points there. Basically, the first seven chapters talks a lot about the importance of the Proverbs and those kinds of things. From chapters 8 and 9 is the praise of wisdom. So these two chapters describe wisdom, what she is, where she's from, what she does. And then he does say how wisdom is described as female. There's several things in the Bible that are described as female like that. Huh? What'd you say? Wisdom what? Okay. Wisdom is described as, or wisdom of God is described as actively seeking people, crying at the gates of the city, It's better than rubies or anything else desired. It hates pride, an unruly tongue, and an evil way. The wisdom of God is understanding and strength. Wisdom loves those who love wisdom. It is possessed by God since the beginning, as Christ was. Jesus is the wisdom of God. We already read those verses. So chapters 10 through 30, those are the bulk of the Proverbs themselves. So it says there's about 900 Proverbs in this section. I did not count them. I'm going to take Jim's word for it. These Proverbs are written in the form of Hebrew poetry, similar to the Psalms. There are three types of poetry compositions used. How many of you guys like English class? Or language arts, or whatever you call it at your school? Do you like English? Huh?
I always
hated English, but there's a lot of English things that if you understand them, it helps you to understand the Word of God. All right, so there's three different types. Number one is contrast. So a statement is made, then a second statement is in direct contrast to the first. Contrast proverbs use words like but. So this and this and this, but this and this. You know, it says the opposite things. Completive is a statement is made, and then a second statement completes the thought that was first made. Completive proverbs use words like and or so. And then comparative, a statement is made, then a second statement makes a comparison to further illustrate the thought. Comparative proverbs use words like or than. So give an example. So the roughly 900 proverbs are God's instructions to us on how to make wise decisions in life. Wise decisions allow us to have God's perspective on life, and to be prosperous and successful while dealing with fools, pride, money, sex, and relationships. We must learn and practice the instructions in Proverbs so that they become like muscle memory when we need them to make decisions. One thing to remember, Proverbs are not promises. Making wise and godly decisions does not guarantee the outcome. We still live in a fallen world, but it greatly improves your chances of success and allows God's grace to work in your life. So if you think about it, like, you know, doing this thing is wise, or these people will have long life, or this results in, you know, success or whatever. That's not a guaranteed thing. Like, you know, obviously we want to try and live our life as much like Christ as we can and in accordance to what the Bible says. But there's godly men and women who, you know, die young. There's godly men and women who are not rich financially. You know, so those things are not promised necessarily. But, you know, they are good ways to live your life, and in general do result in having success. Whether that's worldly success or not is, you know, not necessarily promised. The result of chapter 31, is the result of learning the Proverbs, the virtuous woman. This section describes the ideal woman who has obtained wisdom and understanding. She is a blessing to her husband and her family. We're told in 31 verse 1 that the virtuous woman is the mother of King Lemuel. There is not much in the Bible about who this king is. Historians think maybe a past king or a friend of Solomon. Some historians believe Lemuel is a pet name for Solomon, so Solomon is King Lemuel. If that's the case, Proverbs 31 is about Bathsheba. I did a little bit of research on this. It does seem like most people are like, we don't really know. There's no record of King Lemuel as being a Israeli king for sure, unless it is, you know, a pseudonym or a different name for one of the other kings. So a lot of stuff I read did say that it's likely Solomon himself. I don't know exactly. The Bible is not clear. It doesn't really mention anything else about King Lemuel except for this passage here. But it doesn't really matter who it is exactly. But it is interesting if it's talking about Bathsheba and if Solomon is rehearsing these words that his mother gave him. Okay, how does this apply to me? Number one, we live in a fallen and rebellious world. We are born simple and rebellious. The Proverbs teach us how to make wise, godly decisions in life. While we live and work among the cast of characters in Proverbs, by making wise decisions, we soften the effects of the sinful world around us. Wise, godly decisions can help us live successful lives in spite of the culture around us. It allows us to avoid the snares and pitfalls that the cast of characters will place before you. So all those characters we looked at, obviously there's some that you want to be and some that you don't want to be. But no matter what, you're going to encounter people that are all 10 of those things. You're going to encounter wise people, simple people, angry people, virtuous women, you know, strange women. You're going to encounter all of those things. And so it's important to be wise and to be able to navigate yourself through life and through encounters with all these different types of people, because some are out to trick and deceive, and some are out to lead you astray, and some are out to encourage you and you know, grow you up in things. And so it's important to have wisdom and discernment, and how do you get those things? How do you get wisdom and discernment?
Reading the Bible.
Yeah, and applying it. Like, you get the knowledge from reading the Bible. But if all you have is knowledge, that doesn't mean anything. Like, it doesn't help you. Knowledge puffs up. It actually might be a hindrance to you if you just know things about the Bible, but you don't know how to apply it or what any of it means. There's tons of people who know a lot of stuff about the Bible. People who grew up in Sunday school or people who read the Bible or whatever, that they know things about the Bible, but they don't apply it. It doesn't mean anything. It actually goes against them because, you know, they start to question different things about the Bible because they haven't actually applied it and they haven't actually used the things that they know. And so it's important to have wisdom and discernment to know how to navigate through life and how you deal with these different people. Number two, our decisions determine our destiny. We all know that decisions we make in our daily life, no matter how small, can have a big impact on our future and our family. It is vitally important that we make wise decisions and seek the counsel and wisdom of God. You guys probably know this maybe better than I do. The things that you say online, right? The things that you say, you know, a lot of things are recorded. Like, things, whenever I was growing up, when me and Brenda were growing up, like, things were not recorded. Everything that you said and did was not recorded somewhere. You didn't, you know, if I wrote things down, like, those things got lost with when the paper got thrown in the trash or whatever. Like, now you guys have everything that you have is recorded in picture form, video form, you know, digital, like, posting form. You know, we have to be careful about the things that we say and the things that we, the way we handle ourselves and the things that we say about other people and the things that people would say about us. Those things are dangerous. They can have big impacts, good and bad, on the rest of our lives, right? You can make statements or do things that have lasting impacts, right? I mean, you guys probably heard that, you know, employers look at your social media pages when they're considering hiring you. And so, you know, you have to be careful about things that you put out there on social media. And so it's just, it's important to remember that those things, you know, last forever, and those things can have big impacts on the way that the rest of our life works out. And so, not to, like, scare you about things, but it's just a good reminder. Conclusion, how does this help me Monday morning? Why did God give us the book of Proverbs? To teach us how to live life on planet Earth and to be as successful as possible in God's way. God has given us detailed instructions on how to make wise decisions in our everyday life, no matter how small the decision may seem to be. Are we making wise decisions based on the instructions in His Word? So, if you lack wisdom, look at the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of stuff in there about wisdom. There's a lot of stuff in the whole Bible, but it's dealt a lot with in the book of Proverbs. All right, there's a couple other pages in here. This colorful verses, these are just some, like, interesting Proverbs that show up. And then this other one has some of Jim's favorite Proverbs on them. So, anyways, you guys can read those on your own. Anybody have any questions or comments or concerns? Direct them to... I don't know. I was going to say somebody else, but you can direct those to me. All right, let's pray. Oh, before we get out of here, I have been asked to tell you guys to not go straight to the Passpoint class and eat all their food. Wait until they let you have food. Because I guess sometimes people in there, the food is brought for them. They don't get it because you guys swarm in there while they're still having class and eat all their food. So don't go in the kitchen and eat all the food in the Passpoint class.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I never get appointed. This time I'm actually starving.
Okay, let's pray.